seen him around on the reel when you walk in and you see the reel go by. But we have him in the house today. So I want to welcome the lovely Neil. We have a warm welcome for Pastor Neil Harvey to come up and speak.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, I am live this morning. Wow, isn't it amazing to be back in the room? You know, I sometimes say this, that Boris Johnson has grounded me more times than my mother ever did. So it's nice to be back out of the house and back in the room together and being like in the same space together and fellowshipping with one another. Is that Ash just over there in the corner there? Man, that was an amazing testimony, Ash. And I actually want to say the exact same thing as Rachel said, that when you, like, the whole testimony was awesome, but there was a part of that testimony that you shared, which I really felt was really anointed. And I think the Holy Spirit's going to use you and use that statement to actually reach many other people in the Islamic religion. And it was the statement of that when God came down. I think that's really powerful, actually, because, you know, that says it all, doesn't it? You know, it's like, religion is about trying to climb up. But Christianity, or the real gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that we don't have to climb up. God has come down to us. And that's really powerful. So God bless you, brother, as you carry on your journey. Awesome. Well, it's great to see everybody this morning. Thank you for the amazing welcome, Chris and Rachel. It's great to see everybody. Good to meet some new people. Although a lot of you would have already met me on the screen, I have not met you yet. So good morning. It's great to be here. And this morning, I'm going to carry on with the series that we've been doing the last few weeks, which is on God's house, our house. And as we try to keep saying and reminding ourselves of that, that order is obviously intentional. I think it's really important, the order. It's not our house, then God's house, as if it's our preference and we're the ones that are kind of building this thing. It's God's house, then our house. And we align ourselves with what God is doing, not God aligning himself with what we are doing, right? And how many think that's good news? You know, we need something bigger than us. We need somebody in our lives who's bigger than us and has more wisdom, more power, more authority, who's able to help us in our lives. So it's God's house, our house. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about really like what is the church? And just share some thoughts around what is the church and asking that question. And the reason why I want to talk about this morning is because understanding who we are as the church is really all to do with identity. And I think that when we understand our identity, and more we do understand our identity, the more we're able to live out of that truth. You know, it's very true to say, actually, that I think, anyway, that identity is one of the most important and powerful things to understand in our lives. Knowing who we are. Because as human beings, we have a tendency to live out of who we think we are. What we think about ourselves, we end up living out of that reality. Whether that's a good, you know, like a good view of ourselves or a wrong view of ourselves. What happens is the way that we see ourselves is the way that we end up living. And so it's really important that we really grasp like who we are as people and who we are as church. Let me tell you a little funny story. Back in 1998, I joined the army. And I was in the army and I kind of turned up for basic training. And out of the 40 soldiers that were in my platoon, I was the only one that turned up a day late. How many think that's a really bad idea to turn up to basic training a day late? And I still remember walking up the stairs and getting to the corridor and hearing the sergeant shout from right down the bottom of the corridor. And he shouted my name because he wanted me to like go into his office, right? So I can still remember him shouting my name, Harvey, get in my office. So I walked down into his office and I kind of, you know, went into his office and I presented myself in front of a sergeant. And you got to do what's called, you bang your tabs. Present yourself in front of the sergeant. And I won't tell you what he said to me, about turning up a day late because that wouldn't be appropriate in church. But he gave me a bit of a rundown and told me like what he thought about me not turning up yesterday. And then he gave me this form, right? So he gave me a form that was kind of had already been filled out by one of the other soldiers. You know, the guy's information, like what was his name, where did he come from, what was his date of birth. So he gave me this form that had already been filled out. And then he gave me a blank form, which of course was I was supposed to fill out. And he gave me these two forms and he said, now go back to your room and fill this one out, pointing to the blank one. Fill this one out exactly like that one, right? You can see what's coming, can't you? So I took these two forms back to my room, and I literally, it's amazing what happens when you're under pressure. I tell you, you do the most stupidest things, right? So like there I was in my room, literally copying down this other guy's information and putting it on this blank one. And then I took it back to this sergeant, you know, and I thought I'd done well, you know. So I go back into his office, find my tabs, saying, you know, like, here's the forms. And then he grabbed them, and he looked at them. And then he looked at the corporals that were sitting in the room. And I suddenly then, it was in that moment, I suddenly realized what I had done. And I just felt like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get chucked out or something now. And he looked at the corporals and he said, oh, we got to find one here, you know. And I felt like dying on the spot. I share that story. I know it's a funny story, but like in that moment, I lost my identity. I thought I was someone else and I should have written down my own information, right? And I think identity is like super, super important. I really pray actually this morning that as I'm sharing this message, that the Holy Spirit will come and do a supernatural work amongst us, and that there will be a supernatural anointing on this message that actually starts to continue to shape us as a people and continues to bring us together and shape us as not just individuals, but as a company of people that are together. Who's up for that? I really pray for that. I pray that right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come right now in this message, and I pray that you would call people. Pray that you would continue to shape us as your people. Lord, I pray for a fresh understanding and a fresh revelation of our identity in you, God. And I pray that we would really know your presence here today, doing a work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I really do believe as we pray in prayers like that and preaching on this message this morning, that the Holy Spirit is getting his fingers in amongst us. And he's shaping us and molding us to be a powerful, powerful group of his people. Isn't that awesome? All right, so I want to read first from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And then I'll just bring some thoughts out of that, out of those two verses there. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, Peter says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Man, isn't they powerful words? I just love how these apostles in the Bible can just say so much in just like a few words, like two sentences, two verses in the Bible there. And just like so much being said. I just love that. And so I got 3 points this morning to help us to understand who we are as church, okay? And the first thing that I want to say, my first point is this, is that we are a people that have been called out. And I'm going to explain that in a moment, okay? So we are a called out people. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the Greek word for church is the word ecclesia, and I think it's come up on the screen there. Ecclesia. Ecclesia is spelled E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. And actually, that's a compound of two words, ecclesia. And ek means out, and ecclesia means called. So in the Greek, actually, it sounds like this, out called, which is kind of opposite to the way that we would say it in English, right? In Greek, it's out called. But in English, what we say, it's called out. And we are a people that have been called out. Now, what's really interesting about this word, church, or this word ecclesia, to be called out, is that it can actually refer to any group of people in the world that meet together for a common purpose. So let me give you an example of what I mean. I don't know if any football fans here this morning or rugby fans in the house. Oh, there's more hands going up for rugby than football. That's good. As a Welshman, that's, you know, I feel like I'm at home right now. And so, like, you know, when a group of people, like when you get all these thousands of fans turning up on a Saturday or Sunday morning or whatever to watch the football together, you can actually call that group of people the church. You can call those people an ecclesia because they've been called out together for a certain purpose, for a common reason, okay? And I'm gonna apply it in a moment. What's the difference then between us and like a group of football fans? We'll get there in a moment, but the point I'm trying to make it just right now is to say that any group of people that meet together for a common reason can be called an ecclesia, a group of people, a church. It's interesting, right? So, like, I'll give another example. Glyn Barrett, who planted Audacious Church in Manchester many years ago. I remember hearing him preach once, and when they first started that church, Glyn said that on a Saturday night, he would go down to the other local church, and that's exactly how he said it. He said, we would go down to the other local church, and we would hand out flyers to invite them to our church. And the church that he was talking about was the nightclub. He wasn't talking about like another church that met on a Saturday night. Him and a group of other guys that were planting Audacious Church, they would go down to the local nightclub and pass out flyers to people standing in the queue waiting to go into the nightclub. And he actually said it like this, we went to their church. And that's really interesting, right? Because that is like a group of people gathering together for a common reason. They're meeting together for a common purpose. So there are many different examples that we could use to talk about the church. And here's another interesting one. In Acts chapter 19, Paul has turned up to Ephesus. He's preaching the gospel. A lot of people get healed. You know, a lot of miracles happen. A lot of people get saved and transformed. And because of that, it stirs up like a bit of a riot with some of the rulers in the town or some of the people who have got businesses going on because now it's taken away from their business. And they start a riot. And actually, when it talks about the people who came together to cause a riot against Paul, that word there that's used in the Greek, a people that came together, is the word ecclesia. Isn't that interesting? So the thing is that any group of people that meet for a common reason can be called a church. Now, obviously, what this does for us now is that it makes us ask the question, well, what's the difference then between like 20,000 football fans turning up on a Sunday morning to watch football or us being here this morning and we are being called the church? And the answer, like if I was in Bible college now, I'd probably get some people to shout out the answer, right? But we could be here for a long time if we do that. When I'm in Bible college, we have a lot more time to do it. But you probably have guessed it. You know, you probably know the answer. If you don't, the answer is obviously found in verse 9 of what I just read there, that we are a people who have been called out. So we're called out. And what are we called out of? Called out of darkness. And that is the difference. The difference is that we are a people that have been called out of darkness, not just putting down our like everyday activities to go and watch a football game, but we are a people that have been called out of darkness. Now, who feels excited about that this morning? You know, what the Bible says is that we are a people that have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's Son and His kingdom, the kingdom of light. And now we have been transferred from one kingdom to another kingdom. And I want to declare over us this morning and remind us, you know, that we are a people that have been called out of darkness. And we are a free people. When we were part of that kingdom of darkness, when we weren't in relationship with Jesus, we were under the government of evil, right? You know, it's like we might not have wanted to be there, but that's where we were. And we couldn't rescue ourselves. And that's the point. We were not able to rescue ourselves from that dark place. But then when we turn to Jesus, Jesus actually comes and saves us from that dark place and brings us into his kingdom. And you know, it's an amazing thing to be part of God's kingdom. When you come under the lordship of Jesus, and Jesus is now your head, and he's over you, and he's the king of this new kingdom that you're a part of, man, I tell you, there are so many benefits from being part of that kingdom. Here's a couple of great benefits. One benefit is that now we are free from the power of sin. Who thinks that's good news? Man, I used to get into so much trouble when I wasn't a Christian. You know, I always say this, that I always used to find myself in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. Now I find myself being in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. You know, I was not a free man. I was bound. I was bound by drugs. I was bound by the way that I thought about myself, which was not good. I was bound. I was so bound up in myself, I needed to be rescued not only from myself, but I needed to be rescued from the kingdom of darkness. And 18 years ago, when I was in a prison cell in Cardiff, back in Wales, I had a light bulb moment where all of a sudden Jesus came and spoke to me in my prison cell, asked me to follow him. I turned to him and he set me free. Come on, isn't that awesome? He set me free. And I stand here today as a man who's no longer bound to drug addiction. I'm no longer bound to criminal activity. I'm a free man. I'm a free man this morning. I'm so happy to say that I'm here because I'm free in Jesus' name. And this is the other amazing thing as well about being free from the kingdom of darkness. And it's linked to what I just said actually about hearing Jesus speak to me in prison. Now we can hear God's voice in a different way. Man, I tell you guys, man, we could do a whole series of preaching just on this. Like how important it is to be able to hear God's voice. We get ourselves into a lot of trouble when we try to live life out of our own wisdom. When we try to live life out of our own reasoning, out of our own wisdom, out of what we think is best, we get into a whole bunch of trouble. You know what I mean? But then when we ask God for advice and we ask God for his leading, God, speak to me. I need to make a decision. I don't know what to do. What do I do next? When you start getting into that habit, and God is in your life directing you, man, that is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing not only to be set free from the power of sin, but also to have Jesus in your life directing your life. Man, I tell you, my life completely transformed when I started to hear the voice of Jesus. You read in the Old Testament, I think of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Every time they got into trouble, what was it because of? Because they stopped hearing the voice of God. Jeremiah would talk to him constantly. You're not hearing his voice. You need to hear the voice of God, and he will lead you out of this. So isn't that cool? So we're called out of darkness. Who feels excited about that this morning? We are called out of darkness. I love it. So here's my second point then. Not only are we called out of darkness, my second point is that we are called together. If you look once again in these verses, in verse 9 and 10, Peter is specifically saying, you are a chosen people. Notice how he speaks, not as just as individuals, but he's talking about a group of people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. In verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Notice how Peter is focusing not only on you and me as individuals, although we are important to God, he's talking about us as a group of people together. And that is my second point. My second point is simply this. We are called together. We're called together. We're not just meant to live life by ourselves. We are called together. And I can tell you that there has been many times when I've needed help in my life. And where does God sent me to? He sent me to the church. You need to get help at the church. Go and speak to this person. Go and speak to that person. They will help you. But God, I mean, God can speak to us individually. Of course he can do that. But more often than not, I believe God uses other people in our lives, so we end up relying on each other. We need each other, right? None of us want to be lonely. None of us want to be lonely, right? You know, loneliness is a terrible thing. So one psychologist actually said this, that loneliness is the modern day sickness of the soul. None of us want to be lonely. We need a group of people to do life with together. You know, that's why it's important to be part of like a connect group. That's why it's important to be part of a smaller group within a church so that you can actually do life together and stick together as you go through life together. Here's a great couple of verses, or a great psalm in Psalm 133. Just going to read these verses to you, and then I'll just want to give a comment on it. In Psalm 133, it says this, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Now, one of our heart values as Equippers Church, if you come out to come out to the Equip course, where you'll find out a little bit more about the church, about Equippers Church particularly, you'll discover that one of our heart values, one of the things that we really want as a culture and a value that we honor amongst us, is unity, is being together, is togetherness. And so what we say in Equippers is that we're not just together, but we are together, together. So let me give an example of that, of how that can look. You know, we could all be sitting here this morning together, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily together, together. Like going after the same vision, you know, being on the same track together. Like it's important that we're not just together, but we are together, together, like a family, right? We all believe in the same values. We all believe in the same vision. We're all going after the same thing. That's a powerful, powerful thing right there. And so we say we're not just together, but we are together, together. We sometimes use this joke, you know, that if you were to walk up to, you know, two people, say like a boy and a girl, and you see them in church on Sunday morning, and you go up to them and say, "Are you together or are you together, together?" Do you see the difference? Are you together or are you together, together? And I guess some of us have gone into trouble because we thought they were together, together, and they weren't. They were just together. Sometimes it's probably led into them asking the question, ended up becoming together, together, because we asked the question. But there's a big difference between being together like this and together, together like that. And we are called out of darkness, but then we're called to be together. Isn't that cool? That we're in this thing together. We're doing life together. So, you know, you've got strengths and things about your life that I don't have. You know, Chris will have strengths. Rachel will have strengths in their life that I don't have. And I might come to Chris or Rachel and ask them their advice on something because I don't know the answer. And they can work the other way around. They will ask me my advice on something else because they have not come up with the answer for something that they're struggling with. Think, oh, I think Neil might know the answer to that. See, so we are together, together. Isn't that cool? So not only are we being called out of darkness, but we've also been called together. And once again, my prayer this morning is that there's going to be a supernatural anointing on this group of people, on us together here this morning, that the Holy Spirit is shaping us. He's putting his fingers into our lives, if you like, and he's forming us and shaping us as a group of people together. And together we stand strong, yeah? Together we stand with our head high and say, I'm part of an amazing group. You know, I'm part of a group that if I'm in trouble, I know that I can go to that group. I know that those people are praying for me. I know that if I need something, they will help me. Isn't that good news this morning? Absolutely. Good. So, firstly, we are a people that have been called out of darkness. Secondly, we are a group of people that have been called together. So it's called out, called together. And then my last point is simply this, called for. We are called out, we are called together, and then we are called for something. And what are we called for? If you have a look once again, if you go back to the verses that we read in verse 9, we are a people that you may be declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we are a people that are being called out of darkness, then called together and called for the praises of him. We are called actually together as a group of people, as God's people, to glorify God in the world. And guys, let's face it, this world needs God. When you're talking about the sort of God that the Bible talks about, a God full of love, a God full of mercy, a God full of just other-centeredness, not self-centeredness, but he's totally for people. A God of power, a God who wants to help people, a God who wants to set people free, a God who loves people so much, like Ash said, that he's even willing to come down from heaven to earth to reach out to us, thinking more about us than about himself in that moment. We're called to declare that God to the world. Isn't that an awesome project right there? Isn't that an awesome responsibility? An amazing privilege to be able to share our testimony, to be able to share our love with people in this world, to be good to one another, to be good to people in this world, to serve people, to help people, to champion people, to help people along in the issues of life. You know, Jesus talked about even a cup of water can actually be such a blessing to somebody. Because it's not just the water, it's the heart behind the water. It's the heart that flows through the giving of a cup of water. You know, Max Lucado is a very famous author. You know, he talked about even now, you know, he said, he talked about the power of a handshake. Like when you walk into church on a Sunday morning, can you imagine you walk into church on a Sunday morning or you see somebody on the street. Maybe you see somebody on the street who's homeless and they feel so low, so down, so bad about themselves, and you shake their hand. That the power in that handshake can transform somebody's life. The power of a kind word to somebody can transform somebody's life. Very often it's the little things. It's the little miracles. It's the little things that transform somebody's life. I remember when I got out of prison and I started going to church, and I met the pastor, and you know, we introduced each other to ourselves, and then the next week I went back to that church, went back to the same church, and that pastor remembered my name. I still remember, like, I met him after the service and he shook my hand. There you go, power of a handshake. Because I was feeling pretty low about myself. I'd just come out of prison. I didn't think I was much, but he believed in me. And he shook my hand and he said, "Neil, it's so good to see you again." And when he used my name, when he said Neil, man, something happened to me. Something happened to me, because I thought, wow, maybe I am actually valuable. Maybe I'm somebody, you know? And he said, "Neil, it's so good to see you again." The power of that handshake, the power of a kind word, that a miracle happened in that moment. I tell you, a miracle happened. All of a sudden, I felt like I belonged. All of a sudden, I felt like I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this. And that transformed my life. So we're called out of darkness. We're called out of darkness. Who's excited about that this morning? We're called out of darkness. And we're called together. We're called to do life together, to stick with each other, help each other through. And then we're called for. We're called for the to declare the praises of Him who's actually the one who called us out of darkness. Man, isn't that awesome to be part of that? Man, I'm so excited to be part of a group of people that say, man, I'm not just going to watch rugby on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning and say, you know, I'm part of that group. That might be true, but I believe I'm part of the most powerful thing that's going on planet Earth. The most powerful thing that's going on planet Earth is the church, is God's vehicle to bless the world. We are part of something incredible, guys. We are part of something awesome. And we're going forward together. Isn't that cool? Come on, let's give Him praise then. Let's thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, well, you know, I would love to invite people this morning to be a part of this kingdom, to be a part of this group of people, if you've never made that decision before. So I'd really love to do that this morning. And what I want you to do is, well, I'll pray a prayer. And then I'll ask people if they prayed that prayer this morning. And you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're saying yes to Jesus. Then I'm just going to ask you to put up your hand, and I'll see your hand. And then, you know, we can connect a little later and have a little chat. But let me pray this prayer for us, and then I'll ask if anybody prayed it for the first time, or you feel like you're somebody who's making their way back to God. Father, thank you so much for this amazing kingdom that you are the king of. Lord, thank you that you call us out of darkness. You save us, you transform us, you set us free. Not only from ourselves, but you set us free from the power of darkness. From Satan himself, you rescue us from him. Man, how powerful is that this morning? And God, I thank you for that, Lord. This morning, Lord, I declare that I am yours. Lord, I give my life to you today. Lord, I give my life to you, and I want you to be my Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness in my life. Lord, I turn away from my old life, and I decide today that I'm going to live a new life with you right at the center. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare myself this morning as saved, Lord, a disciple of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And listen, friends, if you prayed that prayer this morning, if you gave your life to Jesus this morning, and you've handed over your life to him and you've invited him into your life to be Lord. If you've done that this morning, would you be bold just to put up your hand so I can see that? I'll see your hand and then we can have a little chat later. That's amazing that somebody's responded right now. Is it anybody else? Anybody else giving their life to Jesus this morning? Jesus is king, right? He's awesome. He's an amazing king to be under. Is it anybody else? That's cool. Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. There's a couple of people responding this morning. That's awesome. Isn't that incredible? Come on, I love what God is doing in this place. That's awesome. Yeah, that's so good. I'm just going to hand it over in a moment to Rachel again, but just let me just pray for you once again as we come to a close. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing here. God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. We believe that every time we rock up here on a Sunday morning, man, you're here ready to move. You're here doing incredible things. And we thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to us this morning. Thank you that we are called out of darkness. And I pray for anybody here this morning who feels bound. I declare you this morning free in Jesus' name. Man, I pray you catch that. You are free in Jesus' name this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would impart to them a revelation of who they are in you, in Jesus' name. We also thank you, Lord, that you've called us together as a group of people. Father, I pray that no one in this room will ever feel lonely. No loneliness existing in this place. We are together in this thing. Lord, I pray that you'll keep shaping this group of people to be a powerful group of people united for the same purpose. God, and thank you that you use us. You use us to declare your wonderful praises in the world, Lord, to magnify you, to show you off, to show you to people, Lord. And I pray that even this week, you'll give us opportunities to be kind to somebody in our world and to bring your presence into their world in Jesus' mighty name. Are we all said together? Amen. Amen. Come on, amen. Let's give him thanks once again, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Awesome. Awesome word. Thank you, Pastor Neil. And yeah, let's actually give Neil a clap. Thank you.